in the Old Testament and then read something similar in the New Testament. So let me read a portion or two in the Old Testament, and then we can read a portion or two in the New Testament. Exodus chapter 22, and look at verse 22. You shall not afflict any widow or fatherless child. If thou afflict them at all, and they cry at all unto me, I will surely hear their cry, and my wrath shall wax hot, and I will kill you with the sword, and your wives shall be widows, and your children fatherless. Now, Deuteronomy 10. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 17. The first verse was a warning as to our attitude toward and treatment of widows and orphans. And so often, if you have read concerning the widow, you'll find three things together. The widow, the fatherless, the orphan, and the stranger, the sojourner. God puts them all together because there is a similarity. Now, in Deuteronomy chapter 10, look at verse 17. But the Lord your God, He is God of gods and Lord of lords, the great God, the mighty, and the terrible, who regardeth not persons nor taketh reward. He doth execute justice for the fatherless and widow, and loveth the sojourner in giving him food and raiment. Love ye therefore the sojourner, for he was sojourners in the land of Egypt. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God, him shalt thou serve, and to him shalt thou cleave, and by his name shalt thou swear. Please notice here is God's attitude and treatment of the widow, and having mentioned God's, ours is to be the same way. Now, let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 24, verse 17. Thou shalt not wrest the justice due to the sojourner, or to the fatherless, nor take the widow's raiment to pledge. But thou shalt remember that thou wast a bondman in Egypt, and the Lord thy God redeemed thee thence. Therefore I command thee to do this thing. Now, Psalm 68, verse 4. Sing unto God, sing praises to his name. Cast up a highway for him that rideth through the deserts. His name is the Lord, and exalt ye before him. A father of the fatherless, and a judge of the widows, is God in his holy habitation. Now, what I will simply do is tell you of two. In Isaiah 1 and Malachi 3, God, having given these exhortations to the children of Israel, God rebukes them because they fail to treat the widow as he treats the widow, and to have the attitude that is his toward the widow. And then he tells of the serious judgment that is going to be inflicted upon them. Now, let's turn in the New Testament to 1 Timothy 5, 1 Timothy 5, verse 3. Honor widows that are widows indeed. And so they're widows, and they're widows indeed. Now, here is a widow indeed, verse 5. She that is a widow indeed and desolate hath her hope set on God, and continueth in supplications and prayers night and day. But here's another widow. She that giveth herself to pleasure is dead while she liveth. These things also command that they be without reproach. Look down at verse 11. But younger widows refuse, For when they have increased rotten against Christ, they desire to marry, having condemnation, for they have rejected their first pledge. What does this mean? It means that, as in some instances, husbands say, I'll never get married again, and these widows said, I will never get married again, and they pledged to dedicate the rest of their lives, their widowhood to God, but they rejected their first pledge, verse 12, having condemnation, because they rejected their first pledge, and with all they learned to be idle, going about from house to house, and not only idle, but tattlers also, and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not. I desire, therefore, that the younger widows marry, their children rule the household, give no occasion to the adversary for reviling. The son had already turned aside after Satan. You see what can happen? The widows, and just one other portion, in 1 Corinthians 7, 1 Corinthians 7, look at verse 8. But I say unto the unmarried and to widows, it is good for them if they abide even as I. But if they have not competency, that is self-control, let them marry, for it is better to marry than to burn. Now, look over at verse 32. But I would have you free from care. He that is unmarried is careful for the things of the Lord, how he may please the Lord. But he that is married is careful for the things of the world, how he may please his wife, and is divided. So also the woman that is unmarried, and the virgin, is careful for the things of the Lord, that she may be holy both in body and in spirit. But she that is unmarried, she that is married, is careful for the things of the world, how she may please her husband. Now, look at verse 39. A wife is bound for so long time as her husband liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is free to be married to whom she will, only in the Lord. But she is happier if she abide as she is, after my judgment. And I think that I also have the Spirit of God, a word of prayer. Father, we are thankful that you touch upon every area of life. You tell us how we should live when we are young, when we are old, when we are married, when we are unmarried, when a loved one dies. We are thankful for all these things, our God, that thou wilt show us in thy word. And so from the reading of the scriptures, let us see your attitude toward, and our attitude, what it should be toward the widows, the fatherless, the children. Bless us, we pray, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen. There are some things that I am afraid of, and that is the mistreatment of a desolate, helpless, defenseless person, and that is illustrated in the widow and in the orphan, because I read in Exodus 22 just what would happen if that widow woman was mistreated and she lifted her voice to God in heaven. And God says, and understand the severity of God, this widow woman whose husband has been taken away, you say, that's a terrible thing. And God says, if you mistreat her and orphans and defenseless individuals, I will make you widows and I will take away your children. If this is true, and evidently we do not believe it, if it is true, then it gives us pause how carefully we are to regard the widow and the orphan and those that are defenseless. Listen to what God says in James. He says, if any man seemeth to be religious, but bridleth not his tongue, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled before our God and Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widow in their affliction, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. So, do you have religion? The old brother only said, never speak about having religion. Now, the Bible speaks about having religion, pure religion. And religion is something that conforms to the life that God sets before us. Did I not read what is expected of you in Exodus 22 and in Deuteronomy chapter 10? You say yes. But has that changed now that we're in New Testament times? It says pure religion and undefiled in the sight of God before our God and Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widow in their afflictions, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. And so care and consideration and kindness and separation from evil is pure religion. Now let me ask you, do you have religion? Not the kind that the world looks upon with favor, but pure religion. And we evangelicals can often be judged for preaching the word and insisting that we are saved by grace through faith. But then if you mention anything about works, we become afraid and we would push those to the side. But having said you're saved by grace through faith, the next verse says, we are created in Christ Jesus unto good works. And in the Old Testament, the good works are toward widows and toward orphans and toward sojourners and desolate people. This is the attitude of God. And that is why I read to you in Deuteronomy chapter 10 and in Psalm 68 and in Psalm 146 that God says he loves for the widow. He cares for the widow, the defenseless one. And that is the heart of God. And God says, because I do, I want you to. Why should you be holy? God says, because I am holy. And why should my attitude be toward a widow or an orphan in a particular way? God says, because it is mine, and because you know what it was to be slaves and sojourners and strangers in Egypt. Yes, O God. He expects that to work in your heart and to give you compassion and sympathy and a feeling of tenderness toward others that are today in the condition in which you were in the past. And God says, this is what I'm looking for. One of the most difficult accusations against Job in the Old Testament is this. His accuser said concerning him, when widows came to you and made appeal to you for food and drink and clothing, when the widow came to you, you sent her away empty. Isn't that a beautiful thing to say about a man that is at the point of death? And that's how Job said, miserable comforters are you all. But in his own defense, in chapter 29, he said this. He said, whenever a widow came in my presence, he said, I made the widow's heart to sing. Why? Because Job was not like that unjust judge in Luke chapter 18. But when a widow came, there was tenderness in the heart of Job. And he would render her vengeance. He would do justice that she was seeking. If an orphan came, he would feed that child. He would take that child under his wing and provide for that child. And that is why, when we speak about what we are as Christians and how deprived they were in the Old Testament about the knowledge that we have, I wish that I could attain the level of holiness and consecration to God and goodness to my fellow man that Job did. If you want to read how beautiful Job's disposition was toward his fellow man, you may read what he says of himself in chapter 31. And God says, this is what I wrought. That I could have read to you in Isaiah 1 and Malachi 3, that the judges and the princes were the ones who rejected the behavior of Job. And they did just what the Savior says in Mark and in Luke. It said, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees. He said, you devour widows' houses, and for a pretense, make long prayers. You shall receive the heavier condemnation. And that's what television evangelists and other religious preachers are doing. They lay hold on a widow, and they're not only physical sins that are involved, and also if there was any money, they would bleed that poor woman to death. And the Lord Jesus said, that's what you do. You devour widows' houses. Here is one that goes in, and he's supposed to be able to give this woman counsel and show her how to handle her money so that she'll be cared for the rest of her life. And that money is taken away, and that widow is left destitute. I've seen it. To give you illustrations, I've seen worthless men come along and propose to a widow as if he were going to care for her, takes everything she has, and then abandons that woman. And God says, I will bring swift judgment upon you. And so I want you to see the attitude of the world and the attitude of God and say, I shall never follow the attitude of the world. But as the Lord Jesus looked upon that widow of Nain, and he was moved with compassion in her sorrow. So if you see a widow or another one in genuine need, let your heart be moved with compassion. Now, there was a special sorrow in the lives of some widows. Some, being a widow, is a blessing from God. Why? Because they never should have married this man in the first place. But when he died, they are free from that man. That is a consolation from God. But some have had a marriage made in heaven, and that mate was taken away. And I remember some years ago speaking to a dear widow woman, and it was so sorrowful that her husband was taken away. And I said, you are young, you are a good woman, you are a woman of God, you can get another husband. And she said, I do not know if I am able to go through marriage and burying another husband. She said, it just tears your heart apart. And so there was a special sorrow for widows that, in the case of others, it can be a lesson. Suppose this widow thinks over her first husband, sees the mistake that she made, and then, in the second instance, as Ruth. Here is Ruth, as a heathen, was married by a child of Israel, and he should not have married her. But when he did, she learns about the true God of Israel, and she says, I'll never leave this true God of Israel. And then a man, Boaz, sees her in her need. Here is Boaz, like Job. He causes the widow's heart to sing, and he says, I will do the obligations of a kinsman redeemer for you. And so he goes, and he shows compassion toward that woman. And so there are some widows who, when their husbands die, then they have another opportunity to marry the right husband and go through life. Understand this. I say, when the husband dies, because I purposely read you in 1 Corinthians 7, a woman is bound by the law to her husband so long as the husband shall live. And what is so sad is this, that if a woman wants to abandon him before he dies, then, if she abandons him and marries another, it is adultery. And not only so, but if a widow woman, when her husband dies, notice, she's free to be married to whom she will, only in the Lord. But let that widow woman who's free to marry to another marry a divorced man, and adultery is what results. She's not free to marry whom she will. It's only in the Lord. And I want you to understand that some widows profit by their first marriage, and some because of loneliness are taken advantage of by charlatans and unworthy mates, and they smart for it. And that's why I read you in 1 Timothy chapter 5, that it seems when your husband dies that you want no other, and you are dedicating yourself completely to God, but what you find is that if you have not the gift of self-control, you have made a mistake. You have made a vow, a pledge, and that vow has been broken. You should not have made that vow, and God knows that. And that is why Paul, speaking about those that have made a pledge, and then they say, I'm just not cut out to keep this pledge that I've made to live in widowhood. You see, not every woman is an Anna who lived 84 years as a widow woman. But this, if a woman is free from a husband, it means that if she loves God with all her heart and soul and mind and strength, then she does not have to get up in the morning and cook for her husband. She doesn't have to wash his clothes, iron his shirts. She's free to serve the Lord. But not every woman can do that. But some are free, and they say, my whole life long, I wanted to study and pray and dedicate my life to God. And when her husband dies, she's free to do so. But until he dies, she is not free to do so. Her body is not her own. It's her husband. And at the same time, she has the responsibilities as a wife and as a mother. And so these are things that happen when a woman becomes a widow. So, if you are a widow woman, you be sure that if you are engaged to another, if you are married to another, let it be in the Lord, because it could be adultery with dire consequences. And at the same time, think solemnly before you say, but I'm never going to get married again. And think solemnly before you tell your husband, now, if I die, I don't want you to marry another woman. And if you die, I don't want you to marry another woman. No, dear, I'll never do it until she's buried. And then suddenly he finds out that he can't keep that promise, you see. You have to say, God's will be done. So these are some thoughts that God gives us about widows. God loves them. He is a father for the fatherless. He's a judge of the widow. And he cares. And Anna and some like that have found their consolation in God, that God is everything spiritually to them that all the material things they needed before were in their lives. God, the Father of the fatherless and the Judge of widows. Time is gone. Let us pray. Our Father, we're so glad that your eye is upon things that men are unconcerned with. Who would say, she had a husband, now he's gone, let her take care of herself. We see that the church has responsibilities toward widows. And we see, our God, what widows indeed have been. Prayer, devotion, supplication, hospitality. If she's washed the saints' feet, our God, let us look at our lives and see what we've been. Whether we've been worthy to be called widows indeed or widowers indeed. And if we are in that position, free to marry whom we will, let us understand that it's only in the Lord, and keep us from making mistakes that shall alter our lives into the day of our death. And so bless all the widow women, our God, and all of those that are orphans, and let them lift their eyes to heaven and say, my Father. And let the widow woman lift her eyes to heaven and know that in God she has a protector, one who cares for her, one whose eye is upon her. So let our heart toward widows be like thy heart toward widows, we pray. In the name of Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen.